We do appreciate you being out this evening. If you had looked at the bulletin, you noticed the evening's lesson is called Feet Washing or Washing Feet. I'd like to take our minds first over to Ephesians chapter 4 and reading the text of what the Holy Spirit has said. He identifies in verse 11 that God has appointed positions of leadership. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God has set in place leadership for a purpose. And he goes on to define that purpose. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, we're not going to exegete this text tonight. I want to use it as a primary basis to help us understand that the Lord's church is to be about edifying and building up the body. The leadership of the church is to be about equipping the body to live and to be what it needs to be, and doing it in love. Now, I say that to give us an understanding that we as Christians are to be about, as Paul would say here, as every joint supplies. We're to be about the work. This is not a civic club or a social club that we pay our dues and sit around at regular meetings and talk about the movie from last night or what's going to happen in the next ball game. That we are a group of people bound together by the blood of Jesus for a purpose of supporting, encouraging, and lifting each other up. There's a saying that in most congregations, it's 20% of the people do 80% of the work. What I want to share this evening and bring out this evening for our consideration is what happens when you and I work together. When we work as the body in functioning, what are some of the results? And so now I take our minds over to John chapter 13, to the familiar story that you have heard many times. And this is the story of where Jesus and his disciples go to the upper room. If you read the gospel accounts, you understand that before getting to this upper room, the disciples have already been arguing among themselves about which one of them is the greatest. Which one of them will have the prestige, honor, have priority, have prominence. Then you come to verse 3 in chapter 13, and it says that Jesus, knowing that he was from the Father, knowing that he was here for a purpose, and knowing that he was going back to the Father, he then, in this upper room, is able to take off his outer garment, clothe himself with a towel and a basin, and go about washing the feet of his disciples. You know the story. You are very much aware of this story. You have heard, I have taught multiple lessons. But I want to share what happens when we wash feet. What happens when you and I work together? What happens when the Lord's church as a body? And I'm just delivering this lesson tonight because if it is true that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, I hold the confidence that the 20% are sitting here tonight. I know there are others who do things, but you deserve to be recognized for your service. But I want to help us, you and I, to understand from God's Word what is accomplished and what is being accomplished when we serve. First of all, I would submit to you that the first thing that gets accomplished is a need gets met. There's always going to be work that needs to be done. Over the last 30, July 1st, we're 38 years. Over the last 38 years, it has been my experience when somebody comes and says, well, what can I do? But very seldom is it ever that they really want to follow through and do it. There's not a whole lot of people who will walk the walk once they talk the talk. Jesus, in washing the disciples' feet, and I call to your memory that Jesus has gone around and washed all the disciples' feet, and he's coming to Peter. And Peter says, you're going to wash my feet? Or one translation says, you won't wash my feet, Lord. And Jesus makes a statement that if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. You remember that statement there? And what did Peter say? Don't only wash my feet, give me a bath from head to toe. I want to be part of you. I'm paraphrasing, but read the text. Peter says, I want, wash me all. Jesus says, you don't need a bath. You need your feet. I'm paraphrasing too much. Go ahead and look there, down there at verse 10. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, yet not all of you. Jesus is saying you don't need a full bath. Jesus wasn't saying he's not willing to give a bath. He says you don't need that. Your feet are dirty. Your feet need to be, if you've been bathed, all you need to do is clean your feet. I submit to you one of the things that happens when we serve is that a need is met. This morning, our sister Jaylene came forward stating she had a need. Brother Kurt and Brother Anthony both prayed that we would be able to try and help them with her need, help her and her family with their need. I submit to you, when one serves in the body of Christ, a need is met. Second thing that is accomplished when one serves in the body of Christ, they set an example of how to serve. After Jesus had washed the feet, after Jesus had put his outer garment back on, after Jesus had sat down, look at the verse 14 and what he says. He says, do you know what I have done unto you? If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so ought ye to wash one another's feet. Jesus says, I have set an example for you to follow. Family, you and I, as we serve, set an example, not only for other members of the congregation, we set an example for our young people, for our young adults, for our new members. I so become flustered when I hear people talk about our young adults or our teenagers being the church of tomorrow. Family, it is important that we understand if they are in Christ, if they have been baptized in Christ, they are the church of today. They're the leaders of tomorrow, but they're the church, they're the body of today if they're in Christ. When we serve as members of the body, we set forth an example, as did Jesus, in washing the disciples' feet, in caring for others. Take your mind to Acts chapter 6. What happens when there is found out to be a need in the Jerusalem church? We have 7 men who are chosen. For what purpose? To serve. To meet those needs. To set an example before the church. Matter of fact, isn't that the whole command that we find wrapped up in James chapter 1 and verse 27? That as James speaks, he says, pure and undefiled religion is what? May I use the word serving here? Caring for the widows and the orphans? Serving them, helping them? That's Christianity. Now, bear with me. I'm going to make a parenthetical insertion in this paragraph here, family. Widows, allow your church family to serve you. We have a couple deacons who gladly would lead groups of people who would gladly serve you. My experience with many widows is, I can take care of things myself. I don't need somebody else coming over doing for me. If I need your help, I'll let you know. And then they don't. Widows, allow your brothers and sisters to serve you. But when we serve, one, we meet a need. Two, we set an example, as did Jesus. And three, and I'll take you over to Luke chapter 7 at this time, if you will. Turn over to Luke chapter 7. You have this situation that Jesus is at a feast in Simon the Pharisee's house. You know this story. And while he's at this feast, in comes this woman. She's referred to as a sinful woman. In verses 36 through 50, you find this story in Luke chapter 7. And as she comes in, she goes to where Jesus is. She lets down her hair. And she begins to weep and wash his feet and put her hair and dry his feet with her hair. And you have Simon, who is standing by and in his holier-than-thou attitude, thinking to himself, if he knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. And Jesus confronts him and gives a host an insult, something that is not found in any other extant Mediterranean literature. And Jesus talks to him and asks him, tells him a story. He says there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, which of them will love him more? He tells his story. He tells, what's Simon going to say? And Simon answered, what'd he say? I suppose the one who owed him more. Then Jesus says, do you see this woman? Of course he sees this woman. This woman is right. It's a spectacle. It's a spectacle because here comes this woman who evidently was not invited, for she was a sinful woman who would not have been invited to Simon the Pharisee's house. Second of all, she's let down her hair. Third of all, she's rubbing her hair and crying at the feet of the honored guest there. Yeah, Simon, do you see this woman? Yeah, I had no doubt he saw that woman. Scripture says he'd already said in his heart if he knew what kind of woman this was. But I want you to look particularly as you read this right here. Therefore, verse 47, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. I submit to us, to you this evening, family, that one of the things that takes place when we serve is that we demonstrate our love for people. You know, it's one thing to say, I love you. It's another thing to demonstrate it. There was a woman in the congregation who was married to a man who was quite around her. He was a man who thought of himself primarily, was not involved in the family much. He didn't provide very well for his family. The church had to help out the family multiple times. The woman was able, and she did her best at trying to scrape together what they had to provide, and she did her best to provide for keeping her kids' clothes clean and such. And one day, At one period of time, she was in the hospital. And the preacher came in feeling so sorry for her, because the doctor had said basically she was wearing out. She was worn out. Her husband had just left, and when he had come, he had brought her a puzzle. And the preacher told me all she could talk about was how loving her husband was to bring her a puzzle while she was in the hospital. Preacher said, "Gary, I was thinking about all the things he hadn't brought her and all the things he hadn't done for her." He says, this woman who was in great need was able to look and to see that this one act of kindness that her husband had shown by bringing her a puzzle demonstrated his love for her. Jesus, talking of the woman at Simon's house, says, she's loved much. Here you didn't anoint my head. Here you didn't wash my feet. Here you didn't give me a cup of water. Here you didn't give me a kiss. And she has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and kiss them. Family, I submit this evening for our consideration that our service does far more than what we may understand when we do it. And I want to commend you and encourage you to continue your service, because your service, first of all, meets a need. Second of all, it sets an example for others to see and to follow. And third of all, it demonstrates your love for those whom you're serving. And ultimately, it demonstrates your love for God by following His example. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We cherish that verse. We hold on to it. We realize that God gave His Son to die on a cross, a cruel death, that through His blood, through His stripes, we could be healed. But I submit to you tonight that the life of Jesus also demonstrated His love, also set an example for us, and also met a need. Don't grow weary in well-doing, as Paul would say in Ephesians. Keep it up. Keep serving. Know that you're valuable. Know that you accomplish the will of God as you serve. And know that the leadership of the church here, your preacher, your elders, your deacons, they appreciate and are strengthened and encouraged by your service. The plea for the whole body to function is the plea for us all to be the body of Christ. Sometimes a toe gets stubbed, a joint gets out of place. But if our heart is that of Jesus, of washing feet, then the body will function. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so ought you to wash one another. We keep on serving until we all reach the fullness of the stature of Christ. There's a way in which we can encourage or help you. Grant us the opportunity while we stand and while we sing.